If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Ladies and gentlemen, theys and gays, what's going on? It's your boy Darren Green, host of another episode of the Darren Green Show. What's going on? Let me tell y'all something. I was not about to come up on here today. I wasn't. I literally did my notes late. Yeah, I was going to give y'all something. I was going to give y'all, you know, my little video list videos, just me talking and stuff like that, like I've been doing throughout the weekend. Be sure to check on that throughout the week, because I am posting more on YouTube now, so just, you know, a little shameless plug. But yeah, I wasn't really going to post a full-fledged episode until I started writing, and then 20 pages later, I was like, okay, yeah, we need a full-fledged episode. Okay, we got some add-ons for the docket. Chili, I don't know what's going on. Chili, I don't know what's going on. Left Eye is rolling in her grave. Okay, I don't know what's going on, but we gonna get into it, of course. But yeah, it was a busy weekend. I was helping some family move, so I really didn't have time to like write down things. But I did. I end up, you know, on a Saturday, child, almost at the end of the night, child. I was working on this show because, you know, I care about entertaining y'all folk. But you know, I ain't got too much else to say, child. Let's get into the thing. Let's get into this carousel. We do have to talk about Chili and how she's a apparent Trump donor or something like that. She denies it. We'll get into it. We also have to talk about Jay-Z, of course. I mean, Jay-Z definitely stirred up a lot of conversation with his interview with GQ. Yeah, I have a lot to say when we get into it, of course. Drewski, they trying to cancel Drewski again after another skit. I don't know what y'all keep on doing this for. Every time, it's like y'all want to cancel him because he done pissed you off, really? Okay, all right, fine. We also have to talk about Diddy, child, because they over here still supporting Diddy, child. We got Carisha doing her little interview, because you know we talked about Usher. But Carisha was in an interview defending him. And then also, I believe J. Cole didn't defend him, but J. Cole was like trying to spare him. We'll get into that a little bit later. What else we got on the docket, y'all? Because I have more than what's on this damn Instagram thing. Yeah, I said Drewski. Yeah, Nicki Minaj didn't come out with an album. You know? and they said some of the bar pages are a little suicidal. Yeah. We'll get into all that and more coming up on the day.
Now, this is the Darren Green Show.
Now, I wanted to start, like I said, this was an add-on to the docket. Chili, what the hell? What the H, man? What? You're a Trump supporter? You're a donor? Allegedly? Well, here's the thing. I'm going to read this excerpt from the Neighborhood Talk, and we're going to give you guys my thoughts. Now, it says that Chili from TLC is making headlines after Media Touch reported that the election records show that she donated to Donald Trump and other Republicans multiple times during the 2024 election. According to the outlet, the FEC records tied to a Rosanda Thomas, Chili's real name, shows contributions totaling just $900 of an amount nearly $800 went to Trump's PAC, $63 went to the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and $7 went to Senator Ted Cruz. Okay. The donation seemed to confirm that Chili's support for the now president, especially after she recently reposted a debunked conspiracy theory that Michelle Obama, the post pushed the false narrative that the former first lady is a transgender and has registered as a man in Illinois 1994. The repost no longer appears on Chili's page. Look at that. Look at that. You wanted to You wanted to sit there and shame the first lady. Okay. And all the while, because of that, we found out that you actually a Trump supporter. So it makes all sense now. It makes all sense. She did come out with a couple of statements. Now, for starters, she did come out with a post. She said, I want it to be clear. I'm not a MAGA. I do not support any of the many policies that are causing great harm to the American people. I made a mistake too many make. I did not read the fine print. I thought I was supporting causes against human trafficking and for veterans. Two things I care deeply about, as my dad is a veteran and everyone knows I love children. I have learned a valuable lesson and ask for grace as I navigate through this. Okay, and there's a moth in here, child. That's crazy. Anyway, okay, so you didn't read the fine print, just like you didn't read the fine print to that 360 deal that y'all signed years ago. Okay, anyway, she makes a statement. She speaks to TMZ. We're going to have the video on the post, but let's hear what she had to say.
Hey, guys. I wanted to come on here to address a few things that's circulating on the internet that's very concerning to me. Let me say this first. I have the utmost respect and admiration for Michelle Obama, and I would never say or do anything that is disrespectful to her or to any woman. I would never do that. And I had no clue that this repost had happened until I started getting phone calls and text messages from everybody, and I immediately went to my page to see what was going on. Now, mind you, I'm not very computer savvy, so I'm looking for this repost button, and I see that all of these buttons are very, very close to each other, and clearly I was scrolling and my thumb hit the repost button. Again, I had no clue that something like this happened until I got all the calls, but of course I took that down, and you know, I would never post anything like that. I would never do something like that. That is not my character. I have supported the Obamas. I gave to the campaign, both runs, voted twice for him, and supported the organization that Michelle had in the schools for exercise for the kids. I would never do anything that's harmful or hateful to anybody. You know, I'm just not wired like that. That's just not who I am. And when it comes to organizations that I have donated to, these are the things that support the veterans. You know, I have always supported them, not just now, but for years. This is not something new. So I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, this from me, you know, that I would never do anything so disrespectful, and I would just never. I'm just not about hate or anything like that. You know, if you look on my page and see my post, it's all about love, faith, and connection. That's what I'm all about, you know, and I've always been that way, and I will continue to be just that way. So I just want to thank you guys for, you know, your love and your support. and just taking the time to listen to me right now. I really, really appreciate that. And I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. Hold on. Because now she was flipping through the phone and she accidentally pressed the repost button. Well, you know, you got to give people grace. You got to give. I don't know what. Is she a millennial child? Is she or, you know, I think she or Gen X child. I think millennial child. I guess there are some time. I don't know. Oh, I never accidentally repost something on Instagram. I think that repost button is in the middle. You know, my scrolling finger, it may hover over there. But like when the system knows when you're scrolling and when you're trying to press comment or repost. So like, I don't know. They told her in the comments, go start chasing waterfalls, child, because honey, we ain't buying it. We is not buying it, girl. What? I mean, you didn't read the fine print. I mean, should we believe her? Should we not? It's not unheard of that she potentially could be a Trump supporter and could potentially not be really cool with the Obamas. I mean, we just saw Nick Cannon. He's not going to be a topic because who the hell cares? But, you know, Nick Cannon recently came out as MAGA. He said that, well, you know, the Democratic Party is actually KKK, still having these same ass conversations about how back in the day there was a switch and Democrats were more racist and more against blacks and Republicans were. OK, well, Republicans, it was a shift. OK, y'all keep on bringing up the same shit. It was a freaking shift. There is no way I don't feel comfortable with a lot of Republicans, with a lot of their policies. It does not serve my better interests, which if it serves you, then that's cool. I mean, there's so many people in the entertainment industry, black. I'm talking about black people. Like, I don't really care about anybody else. You know, not trying to be mean, but, you know, my radar is not on them. But I see a lot of them support Trump. I mean, openly. I think this is, like, way worse than his first election, or not his first election, his first run, you know, as president. When back in 2016, we've seen a lot more people come out and be like, you know what, I'm a supporter now, and, you know, I've donated funds. And my whole thing is, you donating and you not really telling the people what you're not reading. And I don't believe that, because Trump shit is plastered all over the place. That's one thing about Trump. When he wants donations, and when he has a donation to his causes and stuff like that, his name is all over the goddamn docket, okay? His name is all over the place. You see his name in big, bold letters, okay? Because they be sending me stuff. I'm like, girl, I don't know what the hell you thought this was. I'm like, do I give Republican? Do I give MAGA? Yeah, no, his stuff is all over the place. So, no, I don't really believe that. And I think that people need to stand on who they are. Stand on it. This is what you feel. And, you know, I think you got, you know, you're probably a little scared because of the backlash, and, you know, that's comes with territory. But like, girl, I just don't believe that. You said, oh, I accidentally pressed the repost button. Really? And then my thing is, you also not on the radar like that. Not to say that you're not in the limelight or anything like that, but you're not on the radar like a lot of these celebrities are. So is anybody even paying attention to what you repost? And obviously some did because this whole situation happened, but like, I don't know. Chili, Left Eye gonna be turning her grave, child. Left Eye would never do this shit, honey. She needs to get you together, honey. But y'all tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. I had to add that on because I was just like, girl, really? Now Tiger Woods, I do want to get into Tiger Woods before I get into the Jay-Z of it all, because I want to wait for Jay-Z a little bit. So I'm gonna read this excerpt from the Jasmine Brand, of course, and give you guys my thoughts. But it says that the golf legend Tiger Woods is facing legal trouble after a serious car crash in Florida led to his arrest on Friday. Authorities say that Woods was taken into custody following a two-vehicle accident on Jupiter Island that left his Land Rover overturned. According to a Martin County sheriff, Woods showed signs of impairment at the scene. A breathalyzer test found no alcohol in his system, but Woods refused a urine analysis, resulting in his arrest. He was charged with a DUI with property damage and refusal to submit a lawful test, both misdemeanors. Officials say that the crash occurred when Woods attempted to pass a truck hauling a trailer. The vehicle clipped the truck and flipped onto the side. Woods exited through the passenger side with no injuries reported. End quotes, Mr. Woods did exemplify signs of impairment. That's what one of the sheriffs said. But it doesn't matter who you are. If you break the law, you're going to follow the law. Yeah, I saw that car too. That car was flipped the hell over. Now, they didn't find anything in the breathalyzer, so they needed a urine analysis, and he refused. So that is clear as day. He was on controlled substances. Okay, controlled substances. You heard that, YouTube? Yeah. I don't feel bad for his situation, because you know what? I cannot stand people that drive under the influence. Now, I know y'all about to call me all types of fake and fraudulent and stuff like that, because I said, oh, well, you know, Karen Huger, you felt like she shouldn't have went to jail. I didn't say she shouldn't have went to jail. I just think that the time that they were trying to give her, I was like, yeah, girl, okay, calm down. I mean, it ain't like she hit nobody, you know, ain't like she, you know, she ran into a tree. She was in danger of herself, if anything, right? But you tried to cut a car, a freaking truck off. And, you know, I hate trucks too. You know, I hate those 18-wheelers. I hate you bastards when you're on the road. Yes, I do. I loathe y'all entirely. But, you know, I do value my life also, and I don't want to be turned into a burrito. So when I see y'all around, I'm keeping my distance. Like, I'm not going to try to cut y'all off a bit, because you don't know if you in they blind spots, and they got a lot of blind spots, okay? It's like they can't see at all. So for you to sit there and do that, you could have caused so much havoc. And, you know, that's in those regards, I don't feel bad when you get in those situations. Like when Apple Watts, remember Apple Watts from freaking Love and Hip Hop, child? And she was drunk out of her mind driving home. Now, she ended up getting into an accident, but you know how sometimes they say the person that causes the accident don't get got, and it'd be the people that be innocent that be driving regular. Well, she got, and she's impaired for the rest of her damn life. And nobody killed me. Yeah, nobody stopped me from driving. I'm saying, girl, you probably was belligerent as hell. They probably was like, girl, gone. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't have sympathy for people like that, because at the end of the day, y'all wreak havoc. There's a lot of situations and scenarios. I mean, he was left unscathed. Like, he was like, Tiger Woods is fine. But let it be somebody else that was in that accident, child. And let's say it was the truck driver that got hurt. Maybe the truck driver lost his life because you wanted to freaking do drugs and drive. As a celebrity, as a athlete that has probably, he has a lot of money, and you couldn't hire yourself a driver, a personal driver or something like that. When you know, when you driving around heavily, you know what? It's just crazy. You know, no, throw him in jail. But he'll probably get out. He'll probably get acquitted or something like that, or whatever the case is. I don't see him facing any time or anything. They'll give him a slap on the wrist and he'll go back and do his narcotics again. Hopefully this time he won't get in the car and drive. Anyway, Chaka Khan. Okay, y'all heard about Chaka Khan. Child of veteran singer. This is from the Jasmine Brand. The veteran singer is sounding off on today's music industry, calling out what she believes as an over-reliance on theatrics instead of vocal talent, child. During an appearance of the Table Manners podcast, the legendary artist criticized performers who lean heavily on the physicality while on stage. She says, in quotes, "These women are doing any and every damn thing on stage and trying to sing too. And the ones that are doing the most physicalities, their butts and stuff and their body parts, are the ones that usually are compensating for what they don't have." You know what, Chaka, stop talking about these hot girls. I don't know. I mean, like, the only, like, I guess she's talking about female artists. I don't see a lot of the moving around and overcompensating. Like, who are you talking about? You get what I'm saying? Because, like, you're not talking about the rappers, because, you know, you're saying they're trying to sing while they do all these physical moves and do things with their bodies and stuff like that. So you're not really talking about like Meg Thee Stallion or like Cardi B or anything like that, because you're talking about singers. really, in the singers that are on tour, like a Summer Walker, she don't move around that much. You know, she's almost like a Mariah Carey. She just be singing, standing and singing. Now, SZA, SZA, I will say, yeah, she does a lot of theatrics. So, girl, she could have been talking about SZA, child. And I know she ain't talking about Beyonce, honey, because Beyonce, yes, she gives you the sex appeal, and yes, but them vocals and the mic is on. So, I don't know. I mean, overcompensating, that's crazy. I mean, I do think that there are a lot of artists that rely heavily on their sex appeal, but that's just a part of the thing. You know, we're just in that generation now where, you know, sex sells, unfortunately, and, you know, people got to do what they got to do. I don't know, Shaka. You be coming off like, I don't know, you be coming off like the hating aunt. You know, the hating ass aunt that be just sitting there saying, let me tell you something about these girls. These girls, let me tell you something. They, you know, they just whorish, okay? They just whorish. Anyway, I guess we can get into Jay-Z. Let's get this one off, because there is a lot of situations going on with his interview with GQ. And I'm going to read this excerpt. Recently, Jay-Z did an interview with GQ magazine. He had 14 of his friends come out to vouch for him and speak on his character, which I thought was okay. And I did see that there were some photos that were taken of, you know, GQ was a magazine. And I thought the photos were a little creepy, like it looked a little weird. I mean, he was trying to be very artsy fartsy, which I was like, okay, but I will admit, this is the most I've ever seen Jay-Z talk in a long time. Like, it really must have been a tough year for Hov. But anyway, let me get into what he said in the interview, because it got the people talking and no real questions were really asked, honestly. He wasn't asked about being named in the Epstein files. He wasn't asked about his connection with Harvey Weinstein and Diddy. He was not asked about Nicki Minaj and that situation, because, you know, Nicki was definitely coming for your ass all last year. You know, the hardest question I think he was asked is like how he felt about the lawsuit in 2024, the one with the girl that accused him of SAing her when she was 13. Now, that lawsuit has been debunked and dropped, but it did affect Jay-Z and his business. Like, he spoke about it. He said, you know, I was upset by this lawsuit, and it, you know, he was enraged, you know. But the interview really never got into details of that lawsuit. He also addressed claims of him being a capitalist. You know, he never took advantage of people. Let's listen to what he said, child. Let's talk about it, child.
Go back to this idea we were talking about just doing things the right way, even when that comes to, like, attaining wealth and continuing to amass wealth. We're talking about B-sides, one of your illest lines.
We only going to play the audio because GQ be acting weird when I be putting the video up, so we just going to only hear it.
To me is, face to the ceiling, race to a billion, heaven on earth, will his wings still fit him? So, like, what's the answer to that question? Is it a constant struggle to maintain?
Your morality defines who you are, right? Not what you've attained. It's not a dollar amount that changes you.
Yeah.
And if so, what is that dollar amount? Mm-hmm. When does it start? Is it 100,000? Is it 150? Like, at what point, if it's a cutoff, if it's like all millionaires are bad?
Yeah.
Okay, so at 999,000, I'm good. It can't be that way, right? It doesn't make any sense. The system is set up against me, against us, but I'm talking about my specific struggle.
Yeah.
Everything was against me. My talent, not taking advantage of people, not taking advantage of a system, not creating tax loopholes, not just taking from other people. No, my talent pushed against all the headwind. And with that success, I've done things with my reach that I wanted to do that was helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And with the system that we have, what are you going to do?
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Let's get into the things. I think that this interview was a vanity endeavor orchestrated by Hov himself. Like Jaguar said, you wrote the questions that you answered in this interview. And I don't want to come for the interviewer, because I watched Jaguar's response, like, on the Real Life Street Stars page. And Jaguar was really coming for this journalist. I don't want to come for the I don't want to come for the interviewer. Let's correct that. He looked like he looks every bit of Gen Z, and he looked every bit of I'm just happy to be here to talk with this icon in the rap game. If I had the opportunity to talk to Beyonce, I probably wouldn't ask on the record, hey, what happened in that elevator? You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to just do like a little fluff piece for her, whatever, because you get to talk to somebody. You know, I don't think he's at fault. I mean, and a lot of things that Jaguar was saying is like a lot of the stuff he couldn't really capture anything of anything that happened, because a lot of the stuff that Jay-Z did, I mean, hell, you get what I'm saying? I wasn't even born. That child wasn't even born. He doesn't even know about it. So I think that journalism was not in this interview, honey. If you want to watch a fluff piece, you go ahead and watch this GQ interview. This was definitely a fluff piece. This was definitely, I mean, at some point, Jay-Z, you should have just sat there and just give him a mic and talked on your own. You get what I'm saying? Just have you know, whatever, because it just seems very manufactured. The interview seemed very edited, as far as, you know, you're not going to say this, you're going to say X and Y and Z, and I'm going to answer what I'm going to answer to. But it wasn't a journalistic interview, and that's not to say that this person that interviewed Jay-Z does not have a journalistic integrity. I think that, you know, if he were to go to ask any questions that were heavy hitting and any questions that probably was on the no ask list, right? What would happen to this child? He would be fired from GQ. He'll never work in this town again. You get what I'm saying? So I don't think that he should be dragged in this. I don't particularly want to drag him. I was saying this with my best friend. I'm like, he was selected to do this interview for a reason. You know, a lot of seasoned journalists that been in the game X amount of years, that don't care what you got, and not scared of celebrities, and it's all right, fine, if you want to get me fired, I'm gonna make my own blog and do my own thing and this, that, and the third. You know, they will ask those questions, you know, a seasoned journalist. But this one, like I said, very happy to be here. I knew for watching the clips from this interview, I'm like, oh, we're not really gonna talk about things. I don't know why people were surprised that he was so like not really answering questions that we really wanted to hear about. I mean, you've been talked about, you've been brought up in these files, you've been brought up with this lawsuit. Nikki has been dragging your ass. You get what I'm saying? We expected something to be said about any of these things. But what really happened to interviews? What happened to them, child? Back in the Oprah days, back when Diane Sawyer hounded Whitney Houston. Do y'all remember that? We will never get those moments ever again in media culture. Some of the most iconic moments in pop culture was because of these fearless journalists that sat there and was like, I don't care how famous you are, I don't care how many people like you, I don't care how much you're loved by all, but we're gonna get into these questions, because if you're gonna come onto our platform, you got to give us something back in return. Now, some people may feel that Diane Sawyer did too much and she said too much with Whitney and this, that, and the third, and I love Whitney too. You agree to come on here, and we just not going to sit there and just talk about things that you want to talk about, honey. We're going to talk about the hard truths. And I feel like we kind of lost that in media. And it's very unfortunate, because I do care about this sector, even though I'm still on the outskirts. I'm still independent. As far as, you know, I will never call myself a journalist. I just don't feel like I'm a journalist. Like, I feel like I'm a pop culture pundit, you know, this, that, and third. But I do hold journalism in high regard. You get what I'm saying? I try my best to get the information correct, to make sure it's to the T, to the Q. And I think that when the celebrities start to run the media, that's when media truly dies. And it's unfortunate to watch. You see a lot of these celebrities, they're doing podcasts now and getting awards for it. We done did podcasts for years. Regular people done did podcasts for years. These celebrities got onto it. Now they're getting awards. They're getting freaking Emmys and shit now, because now Emmys are accommodating to podcasts now, but not us, honey. Not the run-of-the-mill podcast. The celebrities that, you know, took over the media. And I think that it really is going to set a precedent of how media is ran. You know, it's not a lot of fearlessness anymore. It's not a lot of cunning and freaking audacity and gall anymore. I hope that, you know, once I get to where I need to get to, I'm going to bring that back, honey. I'm going to restore it. Because what we're not going to do is just let these celebrities just run amok and just sit there and paint pictures, and it don't even look right. Y'all worse than the regular news media. Because the news media don't really tell us the real. They don't really tell us the real, and neither does these damn celebrities. I'm going off on tangent, child. I need to go back. I would have loved for him to respond to Nikki to whack her a little bit. You get what I'm saying? Like, why not? Why not? She dragged you. She's sitting there and put you in pink wigs and saying all this stuff, saying that you a demon and stuff, and that you sacrifice people and eat children and stuff. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that would have been the perfect opportunity. I knew you was going to respond to Jaguar. I knew that. You get what I'm saying? But it would have been kind of iconic to see, you know, to sit there and be like, well, you know. But I will say this about the Nikki thing. I do think that there were some parts where I feel like he was subliminally talking about Nikki. The part where he warns fans to not be fueled by heavy right-wing agenda. Now, he said in quotes, let me get the right quote, child. He said, the mogul pointed out that while we are distracted by who won in the latest digital war, there are much larger divide and conquer strategies, he says. He suggests that the toxic back and forth between fan bases, like the recent beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Now, he brought up Kendrick and Drake, but that really wasn't a political thing, but whatever. Mass distraction when the culture is busy happily playing along with a constant infighting, it becomes too divided to push back against forces trying to silence hip hop. Now, what was the part where he said about right wing ideology? He said, there's clearly an agenda to silence voices in our community, a heavy right wing agenda. And the culture is happily playing along in the name of this insane thirst of stan culture to have something on the other side. We are in strange times. I'm curious as to how this plays out. So the part where he said this thirst for stan culture to have something on the other side, you know, happily playing. I mean, I think that he's talking about, the way I looked at it, that he's talking about a lot of these rappers that are now, and I could be wrong. I could be completely overlooking it because I'm like reading it as I'm doing this show. So I'm not really like annotating as much as I should be, but he's talking about rappers that are now turned MAGA or that are now becoming more right leaning because it's the popular thing to do. Let me just read that again in my mind, child, to make sure I think that's what he's saying. He said, there's clearly an agenda to silence voices in our community, a heavy right wing agenda, and the culture is happily playing along in the name of this insane thirst of stan culture to have something on the other side. I think he's talking about that. I really do think he's talking about like rappers that are now turned MAGA, and that could mean a lot of people, you know. But more recently, you know, the queen of rap, you know, and her move to MAGA ideology, or maybe she always was like this, and we just never knew about it. Whatever the case, we're not going to open up those can of worms. I think that was kind of a little bit of a response there, a little bit of like, yeah, you know, watch your girl. But I mean, I do think that there were some things that he said that I think him talking about the conversation of it being, is it ethical for a billionaire to exist? Now we're going to get into the whole, oh, I never took advantage of people in a little bit. Cause I'm like, girl, boy, stop. I'm on the fence when it comes to that, because I do, on one hand, I do think that it is unethical that there are billionaires, and the fact that there are more billionaires and there are a lot of people that are impoverished and that are homeless and don't have the resources. There's no resources, but there's billionaires. There's people that have these astronomical amounts of money, which they literally, I'm not saying, but at the same time, I'm just like, do I want them to like give it all up? Should they give it all up? I think that it is unethical that there are billionaires, but that also doesn't mean that they need to donate all their money away, if that makes any sense. Or they need to, I think that people like a Jay-Z, they do, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce, they do a lot of charitable endeavors, whether it's for a tax write-off or not. I mean, it's the least that they can do because they got all this money and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think the whole, oh, it's unethical to be a billionaire, I'm kind of on the fence with that. But what I will say is the part that he said he never took advantage of people. Sir, we have evidence all over the net that's not the case. I mean, the fact that you sold controlled substances to your community throughout your early days in your career. Okay, you sold out Dame Dash to get ahead in your career. Okay, you freaking discredited Colin Kaepernick and his whole entire fight, you know, with the whole kneeling situation, just so that you can have the job that you have with the halftime shows. And you sat there and said, I think we're past kneeling. And you were you literally came in to help him get drafted again and play for a team, which he never did. And you basically was like, all right, well, you know, I couldn't get your job back, but they gave me a job. You get what I'm saying? They gave me a little deal here. You know, I think that's kind of messed up. And then even if you want to really get into it, I mean, you literally signed a 10-year deal with Live Nation right after you got married. And that's all Beyonce did was tour. She toured and toured and toured, child. I think that there could be a conversation about like, okay, well, money doesn't make a person bad or make a person, you know, you're not judged but off how much do you have. You're judged based off of your character, whatever he was trying to say in that damn interview. I think that there could be some truthness to that. But like the fact that you said you didn't take advantage of people, I think we need to really rethink that. I think we need to really, really, really rethink that. Now, the whole situation with Drake and Kendrick, him saying like, you know, what do I care? I'm Jay-Z. They say, I'm effing Jay-Z. What do I care about a beef that's going on? Here's the thing. Do I think that Jay-Z has it out for Drake and he's trying to stop his bag and trying to get him out of the good graces with the general public? No. I think that on a business side, I think that he saw that Kendrick had the bigger song. Let's just be objective. Kendrick did win that rap battle, that rap beef. He did. He had the bigger song. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody was rapping to it. Why not have that at the Super Bowl? That's the biggest show in America. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think that if it was reversed and let's say Drake had the bigger song, I think Jay-Z would have put him on. I definitely feel like Jay-Z would. It would have been perfect. Like, Drake has a big catalog. He just won this big rap beef. If that was the case. But I think just because Kendrick was at the right place at the right time, I mean, you won the rap beef. You had a big song that went number one. And it's unfortunate. Yeah, but yeah, you called the man that, you know what? I also found it was weird, too, that Jay-Z was like, oh, well, we got to stop this, you know, this back and forth. Like, rap beef was, you know, we got to stop this because when it gets to talking about people, kids, that's when we go a little bit too far. And I'm just like, okay, but you allowed this. You allowed Kendrick to do that song. And even though he didn't say it, the word was felt. So I just feel like, okay, I don't think that was, there was a lot of things that Jay-Z said in this interview that I was just like, okay, I'm kind of calling bullshit. Like, I'm kind of calling bullshit because I just know that this is not your true thoughts on these matters. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot that he's leaving out. And I always wonder, like, with these celebrities that do these heavily edited interviews, like, you might as well just not do it. You might as well just let the shit speak for itself. Let your legal team speak for itself. Let, you know, all the stuff that you got going on. Because it's clear, I don't think he wanted to do this interview. I think that he was, like, made to. Maybe his PR team has suggested that, hey, we need to reconnect with the public because they not on your side. Okay, they not on your side, and you need to speak to the people. Some people even thought that maybe he was trying to get in good graces with the Gen Z people, with you know, us Gen Zs, because of the interviewer. But I don't think that was the case. I don't know what he was trying to do. I don't know what he was trying to do at all. But I'll let y'all, child, y'all can have a child. All right, now anyway, I do want to talk about Diddy for a little bit. I know, because, you know, we talked about Usher the other day and how he supports, you know, Diddy and all the dastardly deeds that man has done. But I really do, we didn't get to talk about Carisha or J. Cole. We're gonna talk about J. Cole for a little bit. I ain't got too much to say. But really, Carisha, doing this interview with Charlamagne the God. And for what reason? I don't know. Honey, she's not promoting any music. There's no other business endeavors. Carisha Please is completely dead. I don't know why she did an interview, but she did an interview with Charlamagne the God. Just an entirely long conversation about absolutely nothing. About absolutely nothing. I mean, I guess the most memorable moment for me was when she talked about JT and how, you know, they have like an estranged relationship and this, that, and the third. That was like, I was like, okay. But other than that, she defends Diddy. She defends her relationship with Diddy. We're going to play the video in post. Y'all can go ahead and listen to this, child.
Wrote a letter about you for Diddy's character. Uh-huh. And a lot of people were upset because they were like, you know, how could she do that after seeing the video with Cassie? A lot of people wanted to know why you decided to still write that letter.
I think I wrote a letter for a change, man. I think that the man that I met and that I experienced was changed. Mm. I'm not going to justify some bullshit or like support some if I felt like that person was a change. Mm. And I felt like the person that I met was changed. It was a different experience. So that's why I wrote the letter.
How do you reconcile supporting someone publicly when the court of public opinion is saying something completely different?
Because if I meet you today, or if my time that I experienced with you is one way, I can only judge that person that way. So it's just like, I can't speak to nothing that I don't know of. I can only speak to the person that I met. And if I met this person that changed my life, that helped me grow, that treated me like a queen, that made me believe in myself, it's like, that's what I know. Mm. And I feel like people can have opinions, but I can only judge a person off of what I know and what I experience. Like, I can't speak on nothing that I never was a part of, that I never knew. Like, I can only judge who I met. I can only judge who I was in a relationship with.
Were you afraid that they might call you to testify?
No. I never hid nothing. I don't have nothing to hide.
You seem like a very loyal person.
I am.
At what point does loyalty become a liability?
That's a good question, Charlamagne.
We got time. We can just sit here and tell you.
I mean...
Meaning, because you might be with somebody and at some point you realize just you even being loyal to this person to a fault, at some point you might have to cut them off because they might start bringing you down.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but also I just feel like if a person, let's just say for instance, right, I'm going to just use this as a scenario. Imagine a person help you become a better version of yourself, mm-hmm. or help you believe in yourself, or help you just experience new things, or mm-hmm. it's still a positive for mm-hmm. you. It's kind of hard to say, fuck you, you going through this shit. I don't give a fuck. Like, I got to just fuck you. Mm-hmm. It's hard. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's very hard because it's like, I don't want to kick somebody by they down. And I don't want to just say, fuck you, you going through that shit. You got to figure it out because like, you my friend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a relationship with you. I have a personal relationship with you. Like, I know you. It's like family. Like, we like locked in. So it's like, That's a hard situation. And it's just like, I cannot just turn my back on somebody like that easy.
Did being tied to the Diddy situation impact your brand in any way?
It did.
Really?
It did. Bad.
Like, I'm not talking about just social media shit. I'm talking about in real life.
It did.
Like what?
It was a lot. Like, I lost deals, I lost money, I lost relationships, I lost a lot, and, you know.
Yeah, that was a thing, and also J. Cole. He gets in an interview, now I'm not going to play the audio from that, but he gets in an interview basically saying that he was doing a show, and he was going to have, he had video footage of the night him and Diddy got into a physical, I believe it was a physical altercation, way back when. And he said that he actually had footage that he was going to release on the show. And then he ended up not doing it because he felt like, you know, he was going through all his legal troubles and stuff like that. And then that's when he didn't want to kick a man while he was down. He didn't want to kick a man while he was down. I mean, what? He didn't want to set fuel to the fire. Light that bitch up. Light it up. What do you got? I mean, well, after that altercation, it's clear that they became like good friends or what, or whatever the case. I don't know. But J. Cole, you always so, he is so sometimey. And you know what? Joe Budden said this right on his podcast. It's like, you seem very disingenuous. Like you all, like the way he does his interviews, it seems very formulaic. It seems very like you studied before, you know, you looked at the questions and you wrote it down and reenacted and stuff like that. Like, he just seemed very inauthentic. You inserted yourself in the beef, and then you want to apologize. You want to backpedal and see pop and all this other stuff. I'm just like, J. Cole, I just need you to just be an artist, just rap, do your little TDE entertainment and shit, or not TDE, Dreamville, and see if we can sit there and do something with what's the girl name? Maybe, what's that girl name? Ari Lennox. Sit there and flesh out her damn artistry and see if we can get her on, put her on and stop letting her just run amok, but like do something with your damn artists. Okay. And stop being in all these interviews and you ain't really going to talk about nothing. And if you're not going to have, like, that's so crazy. If you're not going to share it, then keep it on the playground. But see, that's the thing when it comes to men, and I'm just going to say it, when it comes to men, they will defend other men no matter what. They don't matter. It doesn't matter if we got into a beef. It don't matter. Honey, in some cases, somebody could slap a man's grandma and they could be like, oh, but that ain't none of my business. Like, y'all would defend. And it's so crazy. You don't want to kick a man while he down, but he kicked Cassie while she was down. That's crazy. You didn't see that? It was like, man, this nigga. No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did. And it's a lot of men that's like that. we can go on, but I don't, he's a non-factor. But anyway, Carisha, please. At some point in your life, as we're eyeing the mid to late 30s, at some point, could we gain some sense of maturity, maybe a little bit of hindsight? Because you still think you're going to be the first lady after he gets out? Babes, honey, Diddy is, girl, when Diddy gets out, that man's pockets is going to be hurting. And he ain't going to have the funding for your ass, honey. He ain't going to have the funding for you. All them damn kids he got, they got to depend on him. They over there running amok, running in shambles. Homes is getting broken in because don't nobody know how to handle business. Carisha, you best to make peace with JT and go back to being a city girl. Because I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get the $200,000 monthly for being a human urinal anymore. That's not going to happen anymore. For you to sit there and say, well, you know, I know the person that he was becoming and all this other stuff. This person that he was becoming. Like, there's things that people don't know about him. I'm like, girl, you really make. But you know what? This is all around the same time. I mean, Usher. This was really in tandem with the whole Usher situation. Usher did his interview talking about Diddy. Young Miami did her interview talking about Diddy. We see J. Cole mention Diddy in a way that he seemed like he wanted to not defend him, but more or less of like spare him or whatever that means. We are seeing this all. This is not coincidental. Okay. He is definitely trying to soften his appearance to make it seem like, you know, he was a changed man when he got charged. But at the end of the day, changed man or not, that doesn't take away what was done in the past. And people need to be held accountable like him, and which is happening. So, I mean, I didn't expect JT to say anything less. She's a go-getter girl. She's going to do exactly what she needs to do so she never goes back to that hood again. She knows that her relevancy is not there anymore. Nobody cares about her being an artist. Nobody cares about what she has to say. She doesn't write her rhymes. She never has. It was all JT. But JT got the bars, but she just doesn't have the appeal. I don't want to say she ain't got the appeal, but she doesn't have like the, she just don't have it. You know, she just doesn't have it. You know, she just, if you know what I mean. They were good together because they complimented each other. Okay. Young Miami looked like she had the look. JT had the bars. They just worked. But now that they're separated, it's just like, we don't really care what either y'all have going on. So, of course, she's going to try to preserve what little bit of, you know, relevance and maybe a little bit of money, a little bit of pocket change should probably, you know, when he gets out, because he will get out. I'm not sure if he'll get out sooner than he's than expected, but he will get out. She's thinking that, you know, he's going to have her best interest, and, you know, she's going to be sorely mistaken. Because he's going to hide. He's going to drop your ass like a hot potato. Okay. But we will see, Jai. We will definitely see. I don't want to dwell too much on this. Now, I do want to talk about Drewski for a little bit. Because not y'all trying to cancel him. Not the MAGAs trying to cancel him, child. Drewski tapped into another viral moment, but this time his reactions are split across the timeline. Aren't they always split? Like, aren't they always like half people find it funny, half the people don't? He uploaded how conservative women in America act. And when you see the costume, I'm pretty sure the whole internet saw the costume. It gave very much white chicks meets Erica Kirk. Like, I'm just going to be honest. In the video, the 31-year-old comedian fully committed to a blonde white female character moving through extravagant scenes that include dancing on stage with sparklers, speaking at a press conference, attempting to doing Pilates classes. You know, it was a lot. It was a lot. My favorite one was like, can I get a
sweet cream foam chai ice matcha? And Bella will have all organic pup cup.
Organic?
Yes, everything organic.
I'm like, what the? He's funny. And y'all do this every time. I mean, what more? Come on. Y'all did this with the whole thing with the black pastor, black mega church pastor, black mega church pastors. He just be really telling the truth when it comes to a lot of his skits. And I think that y'all hated when he did the NASCAR hick. I mean, he's been in whiteface before. Let's be very clear. Y'all hated the church thing. I mean, at the end of the day, now I think some conservatives spoke out and it was like, oh my goodness. Now, what if we did blackface? And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think Erica Kirk made a post saying that, like, oh, if I did blackface, that'll be the end of everything. I'm like, so do it. Like nobody is stopping y'all. Nobody is stopping y'all. Y'all already are doing it. Let's be very clear. There are influencers that were in blackface. There are people across, like, different, non-black and non-white that also are doing that as well. At the end of the day, blackface has never stopped. So at the end of the day, go ahead, do it at your own risk. And we're going to continue to laugh at Drewski and doing whiteface and acting like Erica Kirk. I think people... It was a real conversation. The girl looked weird. Your husband, Pat, was gruesomely unalived. And you're walking around on tour like you're Beyonce. Like, dancing and jumping and doing all this riffs and runs to try to save face. It just does not seem right. And I understand people have their ways of grieving, but, like, come on. Like, I think that Drewski was making fun of that. But also, you know, making fun of conservative women and you know, how they act when it comes to politics and stuff like that. Drewski is a person that gives it to everybody. Y'all ain't had an issue when he was acting like the ghetto black girl that works in security, the security front desk. You get what I'm saying? Y'all ain't have an issue with that. I just feel like when it comes to Drewski, it's just like when certain groups can dish it, but they can't take it. Y'all can say everything y'all want. Y'all can do everything y'all want. Y'all can say anything y'all want about black people. But the moment it's like it's return to sender, the moment it's like, now it's on y'all, now we're making fun of y'all, now it's a problem, and oh my goodness, this is so racist, and this is crazy. I mean, y'all been doing this shit for years, so I'm sorry, I'm drinking y'all tears. y'all hoes can stay mad. And we're going to continue to support Drewski, and we can't wait to see what the next skit is going to be. He literally comes for everybody. He comes for everybody, literally. But, you know, certain groups just cannot take it. Now, anyway, before we get into our last topic, child, why Tokyo Toni, she tried to backpedal with the whole situation with Angela Black China. Now, as y'all know, she basically said that she wants to Marvin Gaye Black China. We saw that in the video. Now, see, my young ass, I didn't know. Y'all about to really come for me. I didn't know that Marvin Gaye was killed by his dad. And because his dad was jealous of him, you know, because he had the life that he wanted or whatever the case is. And he was killed by his dad. I did not know that. I was literally this week's old finding out that was the case. So when she said that, I was like, I don't even know what she even talking about. I don't even know. I was like, I had to ask my best friend. I was like, girl, what somebody killed Marvin Gaye? And then my best friend was like, yeah, his dad. I was like, and she. Now she's trying to say that the blogs took it out of context. This is what she said.
Online. Okay. And on my page, I have like moderators and people to come in, my people that I am doing the docu with. Right. So I'm like reenacting like what I said mean to my daughter. And right. I'm actually showing, because I know bloggers are watching, mm-hmm. but don't mean you have to lie. So I'm showing how I was like, you fucking bitch. How did you lie on me like this? Who are you to do this? Right. Blah, 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 blah. So the things that I was saying, because she had came on my podcast and did a dance to Chaka Khan or something, right? I said, well, okay. Well, I could do Marvin Gaye. And I started doing like, so I said, I'm a killer. I'm a Marvin Gayer. Uh-huh. They talking about, I'm a killer. Exactly. Who the fuck says that?
About your daughter?
Exactly. We're not even beef. Even though I don't talk to her, it's no confrontation. There's nothing online saying that we did anything, no beef. Right. And this is consistent. I'm on.
She is now she's talking about she wants to take legal action against these blogs. Could we listen to what she said originally?
Fucking mad. If she walked in that door, I would Marvin Gaye that bitch. I would Marvin Gaye her.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, we talked about her the other week. I mean, this is a clear quote. I'm a Marvin Gaye her. Meaning, what does that mean, honey? Like I said, she's the person that goes crazy in the subway. You know, we got to ignore the people, the man that goes crazy in the subway, child. He starts making noises and all this other stuff. She needs to be put in a home, because let me tell you something. You do not mess with stuff like that. I don't mess with stuff, threats like that. When we got the whole shooting at Rihanna house and we got DL Whispers driving other people houses and stuff like that and wanting to do bodily harm and then saying all this. In this day and age, you have to take what people say serious. Okay? You have to take what the people say serious. And I'm sorry, I don't care how you want to flip it, turn it, change it, bop it, twist it. Your ass sat there and threatened your damn daughter. That's what it is. And now she's trying to do damage control and saying that she's going to sue the blogs. Tokyo Toni is full of goddamn shit. Okay? She needs to go to a nut house, put her ass in the goddamn nursing home, maximum security. She need to be in a padded room, actually. Okay? Because that woman is freaking crazy. And if she do something, then we all were warned, y'all. Anyway, more news on Shia LaBeouf, because you know we talked about him on the other episode with Daily Hip Hop T. Shout out to him. But FKA Twigs files a new lawsuit claiming that the actor Shia LaBeouf used illegal NDA to silence her after the abuse settlement. Now I'm gonna read this excerpt from the Jasmine Brand Child because I did want to bring this up. Now FKA Twigs is taking the actor Shia LaBeouf back to court, accusing him of attempting to silence her through what she claims as an unlawful disclosure of agreement tied to their prior settlement. Now filed in March 25, the lawsuit argues that the NDA violates California's STAND Act, which prohibits agreements that restrict victims from speaking about abuse. The legal dispute follows their earlier settlement over the Barnett sexual battery claims, where she alleged that, you know, it was relentless abuse during their relationship. Attorney didn't hold back, writing that Shia LaBeouf has tried to control FKA Twigs for the better part of a decade. Shia's campaign of intimidation and abuse of legal system denigrates not just Miss Burnett, which is FKA Twigs, but every other survivor of sexual abuse in the state. Okay, so they're moving to do a new lawsuit. Okay. You know, and I find that so funny that, you know, you over here are so scared of big gay dudes and touching your, he don't want them touching your legs and all this other stuff. And all the while you did that same abuse to FKA Twigs. Well, I wouldn't say the same abuse, but like, I find that so funny that you feel this way. I mean, and I remember I was watching this video recently on TikTok. It's like homophobia really comes from some people just is a real hatred. And then other people feel like, I don't ever want to be treated like how I treat women. I feel like this is the case here. And FKA Twigs, you better go ahead, do everything you got to do. Because he is spiraling out of control. Get him for me. I just wanted to bring that up. But anyway, our last topic is none other than, I try to talk about her less. I try to talk about not talk about her because she really isn't in the limelight. And she also didn't drop her album on the 27th of this month as promised. Are we surprised? Are we not surprised? I'm not surprised. I think that there were a couple of times, there were a couple of occasions that she said that she was not going to drop the album and that she was still in negotiations with her label. So it seems like her label is kind of saying like, I don't know if we should drop, I don't think we should drop, especially around this time. It didn't make it any better that you became a MAGA. Newsflash, there was never an album. There was never an album. Nikki, and then people want to sit there and say, oh, y'all being, because like, I ain't gonna lie, there's some beehives that are kind of like making fun of this, and there's some Bardi gangs that's kind of making fun of this as well. At the end of the day, and the people saying, well, y'all know that she pushed back her album all the time. She pushed back her album 3 times last album. Yeah, but she made an announcement. Every time she had to change the date, she would give us the new date. Like, she literally is silent. There's no album, no announcement of any pushbacks of when this album is going to, like, it's not happening because it never was a thing. She didn't do any photo shoots for the album cover. There was no first singles, no allusion or any type of confirmation that she was even dropping new music, honey. I don't even think she's in the studio. She hasn't been in the studio in years. She's too busy on Twitter, you know, glazing Trump and trying to get the SAVE Act pushed. And it's so unfortunate that this was only to spite Cardi. It was only. And it's so crazy how a lot of the barbs are kind of like being revisionist historians because they're saying, oh, this is like a gotcha moment, or they took the bait. Jay-Z took the bait. They, like, the ops took the bait. The only people that took the bait was the barbs. You were promised an album that she did not deliver, and everybody else took the bait. It's a lot of delusion. Y'all are just as delusional as she is. And it's sad because sometimes I have to think, I'm like, was I ever like this? Was I ever like this when I was, I used to be a barb. Like, when I tell you, I used to really be in people's comments, cursing people out, DMing people. I was like that. Yeah, I was like that. I was like that bad, you know, but eventually you have to grow up. But some people, child, is older than me that's doing this shit. And I'm just like, I really don't understand. But yeah, no one took the bait. We knew that the album was never going to come. In hindsight, we knew from the moment she announced it a week after Cardi's album dropped and we found out that she went number one and the album did really well, or the album maintained. It wasn't as big as Invasion of Privacy, but she was able to get the numbers that made it good enough for her to be like, all right. She made the announcement that she's dropping an album a week later, and it was to spite her, which started a Twitter war with her eventually and all that other stuff. It never was an album. It never was going to happen. And, you know, I think that I also kind of find it crazy too, that there was like bar pages. Like, there was this one bar page that was like feeling suicidal. Now, I don't know if they were trolling or if this was for real, but they said they were suicidal. I'm like, it's getting to the point where, child, y'all are a little unhinged. Like, y'all are not well. We're in late stage stan culture. And it's going to get to the point where people start to get real volatile about their stans, about their faves. And it's going to get like swarm. Remember that girl that was killing everybody because they didn't like her fave or whatever, or said mean shit about, you know, her fave? It's going to get like that. People going to start showing up people's houses. And I think that already happened. I think there was a barb that showed up at somebody's house. Yeah, it was like a barb and a barty gang or whatever. And he showed up to the dude's house trying to fight. And he was a little slow, but still. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's going to get to that point. I mean, people that send DMs, like sending death threats. I mean, that is already happening, but I feel like it's going to get to the point where people are going to start finding people. And, you know, these freaking celebrities don't do nothing about it. And it's a matter of time before the government gets involved, child, and be like, you know what, this is happening a little bit too much. We need to regulate. You need to talk to your fans and tell them to calm the hell down. Because that don't make no goddamn sense. I'm actually over it. I'm actually over this episode. I feel like we talked long enough about some topics, child. I said I really wasn't going to do a damn episode. I said, look, there's not enough topics, but things happen. You know, we got things to do. We got things to, you know, I'm always got to give y'all some content. I saw that Wicked for Good is on Peacock, so I'm going to go and watch that while I eat my breakfast. And I'll talk to you guys later. You know, we're going to be around for the week. We're going to do like some, like I said, with my smaller content. So definitely check up on that, because, you know, they don't be trying to let people know what's going on over there, child. They be trying to jam my communication. But like I said, I'll talk to you guys later. Hope you guys have a good day. All right, bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.